Hey y'all, Rowan here. Before we get into the episode, I want to let you know that we are giving away a hardcover copy of both Labyrinth Adventures and the Labyrinth World Book from Kobold Press. Labyrinth World Book was used in the creation of Thank God It's Doomsday, and we can't wait for one of you to get your hands on it. To enter the giveaway, follow us on either Instagram or Blue Sky. You can find the links to both in the episode description, and DM us there with the code word forklift to be entered into the drawing. We'll draw our winners on November 30th, so be sure to enter soon. And with that, on with the show.
Will you open the door? The Time We Have, A Conversation Between Brothers is available now. In this tragic two-player role-playing game, you will take on the role of brothers in the zombie apocalypse and the final days before one of you turns. This card-powered game is played on opposite sides of a closed door as you draw cards, ask questions, slide cards under the door in order to tell the story of your final days together. The Time We Have is written by Elliot Davis, illustrated by Ripley Ash, and features guest writing and art from some of your favorite creators in the TTRPG industry. You can grab the Standard Edition or the Deluxe Edition, which features three exclusive door cards and a beautiful limited edition silver foil box right now at moreblueberries.shop.
The Labyrinth, the realm of the astral superhighway connecting the innumerable worlds of the universe. The Void, an ever-hungering nothingness seeking to unmake the universe. At the center of the labyrinth stands Yggdrasil the World Tree, and gnawing upon its roots, the ancient serpent Nidhogg speaks.
Sumfulaka sinimana.
In the courtyard of the Great Chantry, a crowd gathers. On a balcony above stands Void Mother Boslara the Sweet, leader of the Great Chantry. Behind her stands one of the oldest men you'll ever see, Elder Jasparga Levide, the most senior scribe. In her dark and ostentatious headdress, Boslara addresses the order.
My children, Elder Levide has brought me Nidhogg's most recent prophecy. The time is nigh. The irrevocable apocalypse is upon us. It is my honor to present to you the herald of the apocalypse, Archangel Kalbeleth.
And from above the cathedral descends an angel in pitch black armor. A halo of starfire hovers above her head. The clanking from the chains of her broken manacles ring out as she lifts her greatsword. Boslara continues,
Now, my herald, the Void is hungry. It is time to feed.
Wait, silence! Her voice booms as the crowd goes quiet. She points to the back of the courtyard.
Who are you?
An elf in Apollo speaks up.
Hi. We're the documentary crew. We're filming the apocalypse.
It's at this moment that Elder Levide looks directly into the camera.
I may have forgotten to mention the documentary to Boslara. Oops.
Hello and welcome to Mage Hand High Five. I'm your GM, Max Weinberg. My pronouns are he, him, and today we're doing something a little different. This is part one of our mini-series, Thank God It's Doomsday, which is part of Kobold Press's program Kobold Creates for 2025. We'll be using the Tales of the Valiant game system, which, like many TTRPGs, has you rolling dice to help determine the outcomes of your choices and the story. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about Tales of the Valiant or anything Kobold Press does, head on over to koboldpress.com using the affiliate link in the episode description, because if you do it, it really helps us out. But now that that stuff's done, we've got some familiar faces, we've got some amazing guests, so without further ado, joining me, ranked from least to most likely to eat stinky food in the break room,
we've got
Casey Pappas.
Hi, I'm Casey Pappas, and yes, that is me in the break room with my plain mayo sandwich.
is it just mayo?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
God.
I don't know why, there's nothing else on it.
Next is Robin Ekberg.
Nice. Cool.
feels UK-ly charged there, but I have reheated salmon in the break room many times.
Why?
Ooh. It's not even that bad. It doesn't even matter. People are making a big deal out of it.
For you? Yeah, it's not bad for you.
Yeah, exactly. You can just get over it. I'm fine with it. Hello, beautiful, wonderful people. Hey, how's it all going? My name is Robin, or Captain Crail on all things. Primarily Dorkspawn, which is not a TTRPG thing. It is a podcast where me and the greatest person that's ever existed, Dylan Napoleon, play choice-based games like Dragon Age and Mass Effect. And then we talk about it like a book club. It's very good. I like it.
It is very good.
Yeah, check out Dorkspawn. It's a lot of fun.
Second to most likely to stink up the break room is Rowan McStay.
Howdy, I'm Rowan McStay. I was just going to say Blank Solomon Briar. That's not true. We are not doing a Western. I am Rowan McStay. I use they/them pronouns, and I had an egg salad sandwich once in a vehicle, and I almost had to throw myself out of that vehicle. I am mortified to make any kind of stink, but I know why the number one is who they are, and it's also a result of eggs.
And the person most likely to eat stinky food in the break room because they know what they did is Shenouk Tissera.
Okay, this is bull. Hold on a second. What kind of ridiculous nonsense is this?
This is okay.
That's a breakfast food. I'm not eating that in the break room.
How many eggs did you eat today?
I had eggs. I had two boiled eggs.
Yeah, okay. Do you have them in public?
Sometimes when I'm running late to something, I will walk to the train while I peel an egg.
Okay.
You just run like an anime girl eating toast, but it's a boiled egg in your mouth.
It's one boiled egg.
Well, okay. I understand why this happened, but it's not for this is still bullshit. What all of you? Anyways, hi everybody. I'm Shenouk. They/he pronouns. This is bullshit. I'm here.
I'm so hot.
I'm having so much fun. This is great. Mage Hand High Five is a delightful time. I'm here because Rowan, Casey, and Max put me in a cage and said I can't leave until we finish this season. I do content on the internet. You may have heard me in My First Dungeon, and I'm one quarter of Many Sided Media. I do stand up around the city of New York City. I said the city like everyone lives in my city. I also do it across America sometimes.
No one's calling Springfield, Illinois, the city.
New York City, baby.
We all live in New York City. This is all New York City.
There's no recap this time because it's the first episode, but I want to establish one thing before we jump in. Since this is a series in the style of workplace mockumentaries, we'll have talking heads at the end of each scene where characters are speaking directly into the camera. Imagine like on The Office or Parks and Rec when those characters step out of the scene and talk directly to the audience. Since we don't have actual cameras, we will transition the talking heads and you'll hear this sound. And with that, all I got to say is thank God, it's doomsday. Deep in the labyrinth, we come upon a gray three-story stone building, the corporate headquarters of the Great Chantry. Home to the accountants making sure they have enough funds, the HR and recruitment teams making sure they have enough bodies, and the warehouse team logging and storing anything and everything that might be needed. These people are the backbone of the family that is the Great Chantry, yet they get absolutely none of the glory. It has been several weeks since Needhog's prophecy, and everyone is kicked into high gear to make sure the irrevocable apocalypse comes to fruition. Players, you're all at your various workstations when the front doors slam open and in walks a group of about 20 identical goblins in white button-down shirts and slacks. The leader in the front, only discernible by their glasses, pushes them up and says, "Hello, Great Chantry HQ. We are from the Department of Interplanar Corporate Health and Safety. Your inspection has commenced. Please do not interfere with our agents or there will be severe consequences. Now, where is the closest manager?" And a couple employees look at each other and kind of chuckle a little bit and point to a nearby corner office. "Thank you," the lead agent replies and heads towards that office while the others disperse throughout. We make our way to an office in the back of the first floor.
I thought I had the corner one.
Rowan, can you describe your office and the person it belongs to?
Right. So my office, actually, first of all, I'm relatively new to the company. I've only been here for about 6 or 7 years, as opposed to the other folks who have been here anywhere from 30 to 150. And as such, I didn't really get, you know, office space, as it were. They sort of just cordoned off with some duct tape and a curtain, like a kind of area in the back of the room for me to work out of. So most of my conversations are overheard by everyone else. My name is Merrick Willoughby. People call me Merrick. People call me Mary, probably because of my sunny disposition. Merrick, I am, Merrick is I don't know if anyone's ever seen like a weak orc, like an orc, imagine, but with no muscle mass whatsoever. Like, they are like tall and kind of gangly and green, with like these bottle green eyes, kind of disheveled hair, look kind of perennially a little tired. And I, Merrick, am the regional associate director of humanoid resources, as well as the appointed morale officer for this particular office, as we are bringing on the apocalypse. And, you know, morale is tough in a world where, well, we're trying to bring the end of the world, of course. So that's Merrick. I do have a little, I have a bunch of little tchotchkes on the desk. I'm drinking out of a nice glass of milk. I have some little rubber duckies, and I have a picture of my pet dragon with me. He's a baby dragon, on the desk.
Merrick, you are meeting with another employee at this time when you hear the sound of someone hitting your curtain as if trying to knock.
But you can just flip the curtain open. There's not really a door to speak of. You can just sort of, I appreciate the attempt at formality, but you can just scooch the curtain open if you like.
Okay. Before you stands one of the goblin agents looking down at their clipboard. Merrick Willoughby, you're in charge of morale, among other things. Do you have a moment to speak with me?
Absolutely, I do. Why don't you come on in?
Oh, thank you. And that other employee starts to stand up, and the agent says, oh, no, you're okay. You can stay. I think it's important that you're here.
Sure. This shouldn't be a one-on-one meeting.
Oh, it's fine. They can be.
Well,
I want them here.
It is great to meet you. And I reach out a hand to shake.
They shake your hand back.
As they shake my hand, they feel a little bzzz go off. As I have one of those like magician's buzzers. And this is when I tell you that Merrick is a bard and is a practical magician. Like, they do actual magic as well, but I think their whole bard shtick is that they do like kids parties as a magician. And so they kind of buzz this person's hand and go, whoa, gotcha there. Anyway, I'm just playing around. Why don't you come in and sit down?
That's interesting. And they start writing down a couple notes. So, company morale is a rather vague term. What exactly is it that you do here?
Right. No, that's a great question. Well, in addition to my duties extending beyond into, I do a lot of remedial training with people who are, and I kind of look at the other person who was here for remedial training and whisper to the auditor, potentially about to get fired.
Oh, yes.
To make sure that everybody here has the level of success that they deserve here at the Chantry HQ. I do a lot of work checking in with people, you know, making sure that people are feeling all right about things. You know, it can get a little heavy. It can get a little heavy, the end of the world and all that, you know, the endless void that wants to eat everything. So I just want to make sure that everybody's okay.
Interesting. And they've been writing down notes this entire time.
By the way, are my manners, how are you feeling about all this?
Oh, I love this. Inspections are my life.
Well, I am so glad to hear it. And you know what? Humanoid resources is my life. Looks like we've got something in common.
I would like to circle back to one thing that you said. You said remediation training or remedial training?
Remedial training. Yes, that's correct.
You whispered that this employee was here for that. Could you show me?
Absolutely. We were
just
in the middle.
Give me a little demonstration.
Yeah. We were just in the middle of this. Yes, absolutely. Right. Brian. Yeah. So, you know, One thing that I love about you and the energy and the joy that you bring to this workplace is that you have such a delightful imagination, and you have just a zest for stories and a passion for imaginary things and imaginary worlds. And we really value that here at HQ. The problem is that when you've been listening to your audiobooks, the other people around the other cubicles have been hearing them and complaining that they're a little, what's the word, blue? A little smutty, if you will.
People just got to get on my level, you know?
Okay. Well, see, that's the thing, though, is that actually people are entitled to a nice, quiet workspace. So what I would suggest is, you know, you keep doing you, but perhaps maybe some noise-canceling headphones. You know, maybe pick a choice of literature that is perhaps a little bit more workplace friendly, you understand. I've got a selection of books on the shelf behind me if you'd like to look.
I guess, yeah. Thanks, Mayor.
Anytime.
And Brian gets up and heads out and gives a little nod to the agent who goes, been for taking notes. It's very, very interesting. And just the last question is, can you tell me one thing that you like about working here and one thing that you think needs improvement?
I will say that, you know, one thing that I love about working here is the people. And I look outside, and outside are just like a group of like stone-faced people who are like tired and just like bedraggled and just kind of showed up exhausted. And I'm like, you can see on the faces of everybody here that they are happy to work at the Great Chantry. And you know what? I'm happy to work with them. I feel like I've really built some personal relationships with these people, and I'm honored to be a part of it. If anything was going to change, now that our friend is gone, I will say some of the old firing practices were a little severe. When they say get fired, they meant it a little literally. I can't tell you how many accountants we've had burned in a pit. So I would love to avoid, things like that. And so that's kind of why I'm here. I kind of pitched my own job as the morale officer to see if I could maybe change some things in the company culture. As well as I've been getting a lot of complaints from Sonia about someone stealing the forklift. And so I would love, I'm not sure who it is, but I'd love to have that investigated because it's really been eating Sonia up inside. And it's just, you know, it's hard to see her upset.
Noted. I will take that into consideration. I thank you very much for your time. I will be on my way.
All righty. You take care now.
And the agent heads out of your curtain and leaves your office.
Great.
Yeah. Next, we go back to that lead agent who knocks on the door of that corner office that was pointed out to them.
Can't believe you teased me with a corner office. You asshole.
Shenouk, whose office door are they knocking on, and what does their office look like?
This is the office of Indica, a Siderian paladin who is a celestial being, and you can create that image of just like blue glowing skin, pitch black eyes, rainbow hair, wearing a full-on suit with chainmail under the suit in case of emergencies. I think Indica's just talking wait, is the doc crew already here?
Yes.
Okay. Is talking straight into the camera and is like, yeah, my mom's Balsara and she loves me a lot, obviously. I've been working here for like 250 years. It's been a really great job. I think I've done a really good job. But my siblings, they're like 250 of them. But the ones that are the most annoying are definitely Laser, Crazer, Drazer, and Doug. And I really hate Doug. That guy is the worst. I hope that he lives a terrible long life that is painful because death would be too sweet for him. Oh, man, I hate Doug. But this is the best office. I love working here. I think everyone loves me personally. We're like a big, happy family. Nobody ever fights. It's pretty great. I always, the Brian kid, he borrows all my smut audiobooks, which has been really cool that someone else takes interest in that. And then as I think the goblin walks in, Indica goes, oh, sweet, my go-goblin's here. And then hands them a package and with a lighter. And is like, hey, all right, cool. Here's the address to deliver this to. It's for Doug. And make sure it's Doug. And once you give it to him, make sure you light it on fire. I did shit in that bag to give to him. So thanks. Here's your tip. And I'll catch you later. Bye.
The lead agent pushes up their glasses, puts the box and lighter down, and says, so, I am not your go-goblin. I will not go for you. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. What's up, Mr. Goblin?
When I was out there, I asked for a manager, and some of the employees kind of chuckled and pointed me in your direction, and that seems kind of a little unusual for a manager or someone of a supervisor status. What exactly do you do here?
I make sure the vibes are immaculate. I make sure the work is happening. I make sure we all feel comfortable to do our jobs well. I'm the one making sure the apocalypse is really going down. Everyone here kind of just listens to my authority and you just get stuff done. Also, they laugh because I bring such a good time to the office.
You hear at that moment, you hear like the background just laugh, kind of like the other employees.
See, they're all having a good time. Everyone loves working here. Listen, we can go talk to some folks and they'll tell you for sure that there's no, oh, you should talk to Derek. He loves me. He loves working here.
Who is Derek?
Derek is, and you see Indica like poke his head out to see, look for, Robin's character. It's like, I don't see them anywhere, but they love the job. If you want to talk about someone doing a phenomenal job, this person is crushing it.
Okay.
And I think that's because of how I manage them. It is a testament to my management of how good they're doing. And in fact, everything good happening here, because of me.
Interesting.
So do you have like a brother or something to get my package or?
Also interesting. No, I do not.
A sister maybe?
No.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's another goblin over there. Hey, goblin. And I run to that goblin.
That is one of my agents. That's one of my... At this moment, the lead agent exits your office as you run away, kind of following you, when Robin, your character, returns to their desk that is outside Indica's office. Who are you playing, and what does their desk space look like?
So Bartholomew...
not Derek.
Okay, so full stats-wise is a Cydarian, but in actuality is a human who made a pact to probably Balsara, but also maybe just Satan hundreds of years ago for some form of power, and now has like gone full like infernal demon. They have a lot of tiny horns kind of formed into a slick-backed, like, hairstyle. They're wearing a very well-maintained suit. Clean-shaven. No beard. walking with small circle spectacles. Oh, hi. I'm so sorry. If Doug has, like, lashed out or complained about you, I apologize. You know, we all know that it's Indica. It just, you don't have to light the poop again. It's fine. You can just leave it with me. I'll make sure it gets back to him. And by back to him, I mean Indica, not Doug.
Yes, thank you. I was not going to be bringing that anywhere. So it is, yes.
No one ever is the thing.
Good.
I've shit in this box 300 years ago.
Yeah. Doug has never received once in his life.
But based on what Indica was saying, it sounds like you might be more involved in the day-to-day operation than they are, despite your title. Does that sound right?
I'm sorry, who are you?
Oh, sorry. I am the lead agent for the Department of Interplanar Corporate Health and Safety.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I thought you were another go-goblin. Great. Perfect. Fine. Hi. Welcome on in. Everyone, feel free to come have a seat. You have everything. Everything is fine. Your visit has been good so far.
So far, yes. I haven't heard back from my agents yet, but so far everything seems to be good, especially now that I know that the poop does not get delivered.
Well, not all the time, but sometimes you have to let some through just for company morale.
Don't put that on me.
Interesting.
That has nothing to do with the chief morale officer.
It's so kind of you to say that I do a lot of work. That's a very... It's just a wonderful thing for someone to say. Some people may say that, but I don't know. But who actually knows, honestly?
I would hope a lot of people know if it's you who is actually doing the work.
You would hope. No, it's all Indica. Indica does everything. Is so good. Really good at managing. And it just really, we're in such high spirits. The apocalypse is just around the corner. And it's all gonna kick off. We're hoping this is going to be our best quarter yet. We're hoping death's in the trillions. We got our fingers crossed there. We're hoping for a lot of possessions. It's going to be a really good year for us, I think.
Do you have anything on you or maybe on your desk that shows that your patron could be Boslara?
So there's the computer, and then next to their computer is like an old dark tome, a big thick grimoire that is flipping its own pages, and if you stare at it too long it begins to speak to you, and it will never stop speaking to you. And it's there flicking through its own pages and kind of writing down essentially a task list, but then you notice that it simply does not stop writing. It's just updating consistently every few seconds with a new minor task, and then it will whilst speaking to the documentary crew, Bartholomew will be typing, would like hit an enter key, and then the book will scroll back 50 pages and then strike one thing and then flip 51 pages since the tasks have increased since it was
The lead agent looks at your grimoire of tasks and says, do you find it a conflict of interest, or that having the Void Mother as your patron might create some difficult scenarios with Indica?
I know how to do my job. I know how to do my job to the fullest extent. I have loved my time here with Balsara. I'm loving my time in the apocalypse. I might be moving departments if this apocalypse goes well. I've been promised a big, nice office and my own team to manage. No, there is not necessarily a conflict of interest, because one apocalypse benefits everyone trying to make an apocalypse happen. Now, I will admit, there are a lot of different types of apocalypses, and you can kind of only have an apocalypse once every few thousand years.
Interesting. Okay. Is there anything that you can tell me that you like about working here, or one thing that you think needs improvement?
I think that good work is its own reward, and eventually everyone is going to get noticed for the good work they do. And I'm really excited for that recognition to come. I'm not saying it doesn't happen now. I think everyone here is really good. And I am just honored to be a part of the team.
The family, as Indica called it.
And you know what? This family's great. And I like it. And it's good. Really excited for the apocalypse. Go Voids. It's going to be a nice time, I think.
Well, Bartholomew, thank you for your cooperation. You have been a great help.
It's an honor. Thank you.
And they wink as they leave.
Oh.
Next, one of the agents makes their way down several flights of stairs to the warehouse, a massive underground structure containing anything and everything the Great Chantry might need. Weapons, magic items, uniforms, printer paper, anything. As they walk in, they see two signs. One reads, 36,472 days since our last accident. And the other one reads, 3 days since our last accident caused by Indica. The agent sees someone driving a forklift and shouts, hey, you got a license for that? Casey, who is this agent shouting out, and what do they do, and how do they feel about getting shouted at by this stranger?
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, I'm playing Sonia Grimhart. She is a dwarven mechanist in terms of class. She is the warehouse foreman, and she looks over and then continues driving.
come back. Do you have a license?
She fully finishes what she does, steps off the forklift, calls somebody over to take over, and then comes over and says, all right, who are you and why'd you cross the yellow line?
My name is Malix. I am from the Department of Interplanar Corporate Health and Safety, and it is a surprise inspection right now.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's good. I thought the corporate rat had go-goblined me again.
No, I have a very serious job.
As opposed to the go-goblins on a serious job.
Sonia sighs and says, don't we all? All right. Upstairs, they know about the surprise inspection?
Oh, yes. We went in the front door.
She turns around and shouts, all right, boys, 15-minute break. On the company. All the warehouse guys just stop what they're doing in the middle of their task and just shuffle off.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions?
Is this part of the inspection?
Absolutely.
I mean, I've already taken my union-mandated lunch break, so anything past this is a bonus. Go ahead.
Take some notes on that statement, and... I noticed that there are two kind of accident signs here. What's the deal with that? An accident is an accident, no matter who causes it.
You know, one could say that. However, the boys were getting very discouraged at the amount of resets that were happening on the big calendar. So we had to compromise and make an addendum. As you can tell, it has been, 3 days? I believe that one last said since... Big boy came on down to the warehouse.
You cut to security footage and you see everyone is like on a break, and Sonia diligently like looks around. I have like several hiding spots that Sonia is aware of and like looks through those hiding spots. And then like kind of like there's like another worker that's kind of like sweeping, and Sonia looks at the worker and like gives a thumbs up and then like walks off. And then you see like the worker like looks up, looks at the security camera, gives a thumbs up, takes off a mustache, and it was just Indica the entire time wearing like a foreman outfit. Quickly runs into a forklift, hits the gears, is about to like drive forward. It's in reverse, goes backwards, knocks over all of the like the plateau towers down.
Oh, God.
It like cascades down like a little like dominoes going down the entire thing. Looks back. Looks to Sonia, shrugs, and then just walks upstairs and then goes, you guys should clean this all up before the end of the day.
One of these days. You got any other questions?
Yeah, are there any particularly dangerous items or substances that are being held in the warehouse? And if there are, could you show them to me and how they are being stored?
All right, I can show them to you, but you're going to have to wear protective goggles, a headset, all that.
I would love to.
Sure. We got, she points to a shelf in which a large crate is like humming ominously. And she says, that's the demon engine of Elgarath. You're really going to want to take a step back. There's only three people in the nation who are licensed to work on one of those. And one of them just got his arms blown off last month. So we're down to 2.5.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. You see that down there? She points and there's a large warhammer that's just hovering, not even on a shelf, just like over the warehouse. And she says, "That's the warhammer of Gideon. Don't let it see you."
Oh.
Yeah, well.
Interesting.
That one got tampered with and now we can't get it down. That was exactly 6 days ago, the previous time the calendar got reset. Anything else?
The last thing is just, could you show me your warehouse health and safety documents? I just need to make sure that they're all up to date.
Right. Yeah. Sure. I got all the manuals over here. She steps into her little office. You see, it's sort of it's like a warehouse shared office that's like part office, part break room. And so all of the warehouse guys are just in here talking. And she says, "All right, boys, best behavior." And she goes over and takes this massive, like, OSHA manual, slams it down onto the desk. It's like black leather bound. There's like a demon eye flittering back and forth on it. And she says, "All right, just as OSHA mandated."
I think you mean the Department of Interplanar Corporate Health and Safety, not OSHA.
You're so right. You're so right. Just as the Department of Interplanar Safety recommend.
Appreciate
it's DIHS, I believe.
Is that DICHS actually?
DICHS.
Dix. Is it Dix?
It is Dix.
Nice. Good.
Just as the Dick boys recommend.
If I can, I think there's like a knock at the door, and Bartholomew is on the other end, is like, "Hi. I noticed there's no one working because there's no tasks being crossed off the manual. Are you going to be staying late, Sonya, or is this another one of your fun little jokes that you're playing on me?"
"Oh, well, I was just showing the gentleman here some hospitality, but you know what? We'll get right on that."
Is everyone joining in on the hospitality? Because I noticed that there's not a single worker on the floor at the minute.
"Oh, well, I mean, listen, if you corporate fellas would keep the safety boys off my back, then maybe we'd have time to organize the warehouse."
Do you think it's safer with nobody in the warehouse whilst the world's most annoying idiot is upstairs and is literally looking at pictures of the best ways to destroy warehouses with trucks
monthly?
The best ways to destroy warehouses with trucks monthly.
That's my favorite magazine.
And also, do you know how hard it is to write a full monthly magazine? Because I have to do that.
It's written by Bartholomew.
Because Indica thinks that there is a special magazine, and that's the only thing that stops them coming down here and destroying everything.
Sonya strokes her mustache for a second, as this actually is a good point. And she says, "Yeah, well, you know what?" As she turns to the safety inspector and says, "Barty there's got a point. I better actually get back out on the floor, make sure boss man doesn't come down here and mess anything else up. Thanks for the reminder, Bart."
"All right, it's Bartholomew, thank you. We are not even colleagues, so no nicknames."
"No."
Ooh, boy.
That's so funny.
"Great, thanks. All right, anything else I can help you with?"
"That is it. I appreciate your help, and I better let you get back to work."
Yeah. "Hey, would you do a lady a favor? If you see a rat shaped like a person in a suit coming on down this way, would you just do me and everybody else a favor and just sort of steer him on back upstairs where he belongs?"
"I will not. Thank you."
I think as you say that, you see a rat shaped like a person driving your forklift past the break room window.
No. Rushes back out on the floor.
As the inspection wraps up, the agents start to assemble at the entrance, and once they're all assembled, the lead agent pushes up their glasses, addresses the office. Thank you for your cooperation. We have completed the Dix inspection. You have all been a tremendous help. Then they all turn and walk out the door.
That's so dumb, Max. That's incredible.
Well, thank you. You have a great rest of your day, too. All right. Well, you take care now. All right. Bye-bye. And I, like, wave goodbye to every individual goblin as they go out the door.
There's over 20, yeah.
And I shake all of their hands. And then, like, 21 in, I give them a little buzz. Gotcha.
So, how was the inspection for you?
There was an inspection?
I think you just see the warehouse team on the security feed just writing an upended shelf and starting to put all of the crates back on it.
I'm not going to get too political, but I do think that we should start flaying people again. I think if we don't like our bosses, we should be able to slowly and oh so deliciously their skin whilst they beg for mercy. And we say, no, you lost mercy 50 years ago.
I'm just really glad everybody's so happy to be here.
Magehand High Five is proudly sponsored by Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. Now, I've been using Hero Forge in my home games for years, and it's such an amazing experience unveiling customized miniatures at the table. I've even designed my own little Hayden Kincaid to hang out with me while we record. They offer a bunch of different materials, from unpainted plastic to full color, or even a downloadable file if you've got a 3D printer like me. But the coolest stuff is what's new on offer. First is the custom acrylic keychains. You can have a tiny Salome, Wyatt, or even your own custom original characters come along as you journey out into the world. Plus, they're a perfect one-to-one match to the minis at your table. Not only that, but Hero Forge now offers steel minis made out of 100% stainless steel with a nice, rugged, durable feel that harkens back to the old days of D&D minis. Visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature today, and check back often. New content is added every week.
Music, soundscapes, two things that can turn a great session into a legendary adventure. And with Pocket Bard, running sound doesn't have to be complicated. Pocket Bard is a music and soundscape app designed with one goal in mind: provide quality music and soundscapes at the click of a button. With seamless transitions, you can move from sunny starter town to deepest direst dungeon in a snap. And with Pocket Bard's intensity slider, you can fine-tune the music on the fly, creating the perfect tone for the perfect moment. And best of all, its easy-to-use interface means you'll always be in control, even in the heat of battle. Pocket Bard's become my go-to environment app for home games because it frees me up to focus on what's most important, the fun. And with 20 free location ambiences available from the jump, there's no reason not to try it for your next game night. So go craft your legend. Pocket Bard's got your back. Immersive audio, made simple.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
Several months pass, and everyone at the Great Chantry is working diligently to bring the irrevocable apocalypse. It's Monday morning, and Merrick, you arrive to your office to see a wax-sealed letter sitting on your desk.
Merrick walks into their office sipping on green tea, because they gave up coffee a little while ago, and they're sipping from a mug, the very special mug that says, Best Regional Associate Director of Humanoid Resources / Morale Officer. Which is their spellcasting focus. But yeah, they're kind of gently sipping from this like herbal green tea out of this special mug that one of their that they made for themselves on the internet. And they open this wax sealed envelope.
Mix Merrick Willoughby, it has come to my attention that Bartholomew has been having some extra difficulties with my child, Indica. You would do me a great service if you could check in on them. Maybe give them one of your rousing pep talks? In nothingness, Void Mother Boslara the Sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's gonna be a tough one. All right, another glass of herbal tea for me today. You got this, Merrick. And Merrick snaps their suspenders and walks out of their office. And makes their way over to Bartholomew.
Great, yeah, you make your way over to that corner office that I teased you with earlier.
Bartholomew, what kind of treats would you say that you like to have?
Let's go with my least favorite thing, which is rose flavored like licorice. The two of the worst things I could think of.
Oh, that's Ooh. Devastating. Okay, great. I saunter on over to Bartholomew with my hands free, and I say, Bartholomew, how are you doing today? How's it going?
Oh, hi, Merrick. Are you here to do some actual work? You ready to get, like, actually, you know, become useful in the workplace, or are you still gonna be...
Oh, you know what? That's, you're always such a joker. Here, I've got something for you. And I look at my one sleeve and say, oh, nothing in my left sleeve. Oh, you look like you've got something behind your ear. And I pull out a bouquet of rose-flavored licorice and say,
God.
I brought this for you.
As you're reaching, Bartholomew's like, I swear to God, if you pull something behind my ear, I'm going to freak out.
And then I pull your favorite snack from behind your ear and say, I couldn't help it. I found it there. I had to get it out. Otherwise, it'd be a hell of a thing to try to clean up with a Q-tip, you know?
Why are you here?
Well, I wanted to check in. I'm here on, you know, in my capacity as morale officer. I heard... A little birdie told me from upstairs, a little void birdie, if you will, that you might be having a little bit of trouble with some of the other staff members, particularly some of the higher ups and middle management. So I just wanted to check in with you to see how you're doing and how you're feeling. Did you get the blood pressure monitor that we sent to you? Because I know that was something that we had flagged might be important for you.
Yes, my blood pressure's at an all-time high, exactly where it should be. I'm working at full capacity.
Right. No, so I saw that you were at a 213 over 105, and I do think you should legally be dead at those numbers. So I'm just kind of trying to wrap my head around what we can do to help you.
Well, every single time we talk, my blood pressure goes up by a little bit, so here's hoping.
Oh, yeah, so, yo, you're right. That's now, it's 2:30 now. Wow, okay.
Who upstairs? Who upstairs has said that I have a problem with the higher-ups at the office?
I'm not technically at liberty to discuss this, but my hands are tied. The Void Mother herself mentioned it. I think, you know, she did put that brainworm in you a while ago, and so I think she kind of knows a lot of the thoughts and feelings that you're having, and sometimes she lets me in on them just to make sure that I can make sure that you're okay. So if there's ever an eerie sense, like I know exactly what's going on in your mind, sometimes I do.
Well, hopefully the things that you can sense that is going on in my mind when I speak to certain people won't get me sent to HR. But if I get fired, at least I don't die.
the good news is I'm already HR and I'm not here to report you. I'm just here to make sure that you're doing okay.
I'm fine.
Right.
I would.
I'm going to roll an insight check. I forgot we're playing a game. I'll roll about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah. First roll.
First roll, baby.
That is an 18.
Would you like me to roll against?
Yeah. Go ahead and roll deception. Go ahead and roll deception if you want. Yeah. Or.
Damn it. 17. Damn it.
Robin, what's behind the eyes?
Bartholomew's like, fine. And then you believe it. But then I think Indica like walks past and asks Bartholomew to do something. And Bartholomew responds, yeah, that's fine, boss. Don't worry about it. But behind their eyes, you see like a fury that would like burn nations to the ground.
Great.
They very cheerfully say, that's fine, boss.
Indica walks behind Derek and goes, hey, Derek, can you give me that report defining what an apocalypse is again? I lost the last one you did for me. So sorry.
Sure thing, boss. Don't worry about it.
Oh, baby.
I'm fine.
Right. See, so as you said that, it just climbed up again to 250. And so I just want to make sure, because you are one of our most valued employees, that you make it through to the end of this apocalypse. So here's what I've done for you. I'm sure you're going to love this. I've arranged for some other folks in the office, some really competent people, to take over the rest of your tasks for the day so that you can take half a day off.
How many employees do we have? If they decide to pick up and come do mine, are you hiring 200 people to do all the tasks that I'm going to be doing in the day? Are they all going to work to midnight just like I do, and then they're going to come in at 1 a.m. after a really good 1 hour nap?
Well, the thing is, you are doing all of that on your own volition, Bartholomew. And at the end of the day, we really only need you here until 6. And so the other employees, there are 6 of them, they will be working until 6. Brian might work till 6:30 or so. He's at a really good part in the book, I hear. So he's just going to take an extra 30 during lunch and then just work a little bit of overtime. But besides Brian, everyone should basically just be here till 6. And everything else can wait till tomorrow.
Oh my God, so kind. Sounds like you think I don't know how to delegate. I just want to let you know that I delegate all the time. It's not my problem that people don't do the work that I'm delegating them, and then I have to do the work. We are in crunch season, folks. It is time to lock in and get this apocalypse a moving. People aren't doing it. Why ask someone who is a stupid baby who is here because their mother is the greatest thing that's ever existed?
Are you referring to someone specific?
I'm talking about so many people. Laser, Tracer, Quasar, Doug, they all suck. And they are all
right.
Also Nepo hires. And I hate all of them individually.
Right. Well, Doug did promise to get through the rest of your workload today, as long as Indica would promise not to shit in another bag. So I think you should just go home. In fact, a company mandated I'm sorry, but you have to go home.
At this point, we're going to cut into Indica's office as they just walked past that previous conversation to where they also see a wax-sealed letter on their desk.
Uh-oh.
All right, yeah. Looks like mommy sent me something. let's see what she has to say to her favorite little kid.
My child, Kel Belleth has personally requested your aid in obtaining the Grimoire of the Eldest from the warehouse. Once retrieved, please leave it with the front desk, who will send it out to Miss Belleth. Do not disappoint me again. In nothingness, Void Mother Boslar the Sweet.
In nothingness is how she says she loves me.
Woof.
Well, all right, cool. Sounds like I gotta go take a grimoire. Let me go get Brian to help me go talk to Sonia. Grimoire. Grimoire?
Yeah, Brian's literate. Bring him.
Brian! yeah, what's up?
What does this word
mean? Oh, that's mean? Grimoire. It's just like a big book. It's usually kind of like, has like a bad vibe to it, which is like a good vibe, but you know.
Okay, cool.
I'd read it.
Come with me and we're going to go get this book from Sonia.
Let's do it. This was not a character I had planned, but great. Indica and Brian, you walk out, and as you leave, you see Merrick and Bartholomew wrapping up their conversation.
I'm not saying I can't tell you where you have to go. So technically, I suppose if you wanted to stay here, we can't kick you out. But legally, you do have to stop working for us now.
Hey, Derek. Hey, Merrick.
Please.
Wow, your names rhyme. That's crazy. You guys must be related.
Oh, we have fun here.
We're going to go steal a Brian knows the word. We're going to go take something from the warehouse.
Well, Indica, remember the warehouse. Sonia has expressly said that she does not want you in the warehouse again.
Oh, Merrick. Merrick, this is awesome. It's great that you're here. And then
it's great that you're here.
Indica keeps walking with Brian. And then as like Indica walks away with Brian goes, it's nice we let that sick kid work here. They must be having so much fun.
Oh my God. Just this anemic looking orc.
Oh my God, I forgot what you look like. Yeah.
Just the scrawniest, most tired orc you've ever seen.
Great. Brian and Indica head down to the warehouse. Do y'all follow?
Bartholomew, you are technically off the clock. I do need to follow Indica down there to make sure that he does not drive the forklift. I have been expressly informed that I need to do that, so I will follow behind.
Okay,
and
sure
Bartholomew,
thing.
Technically you're off for the day, I guess. I made up, but you can follow us for sure if you still have a compulsion to be here.
I think Bartholomew is like, as Merrick is walking out, is sitting back down at her desk and then is like, should probably go. And then stands up and goes to the warehouse.
The four of y'all make your way down to the warehouse. You open the doors where you are greeted by Sonia, wondering who the hell is coming into her warehouse.
Sonia opens the door, sighs, and closes it. And
I tried to tell him that he couldn't come in.
She turns to another guy, tosses the keys, and says, get it out of here.
You just hear beep, 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 behind closed doors.
Sonia opens the door and says, hi. To what do I owe this pleasure?
Hey, Sonia. It's me and Brian. We need a grimoire.
You need a grimoire from here.
Yes, it's a book, right, Brian?
Yeah, it's a big book.
Right. I'm just going to skip the part where I ask if you've got the necessary paperwork to check it out.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's my mom. Mama, mommy.
I'm sorry. Bolslara asked you to come get it?
Yep.
Sonia sighs as this is so far beyond her pay grade, and then shrugs and says, Why not? Everybody, come on in. Warehouse, fellas. You ain't working, but you ain't off. Stand by. May need you. And then begins walking down and says, all right, which grimoire?
Indica opens it, opens the letter, and looks at it and goes, why don't you just give me all of them?
Sonia takes the letter from you and reads it and goes, okay.
Merrick goes, all of the grimoires in this place, that's going to be a lot of heavy lifting. It would almost take a... Oh, no.
Oh, that's crazy. We got rid of that. Anyway.
Wait, what?
Would take a forklift to get it out of here.
Nope. Anyway. All right, that's going to be section 58F. All right, everybody, come along.
Great. You lead everybody back to that section 58F where the grimoires are kept. This one in particular is a very magical, very powerful magical object. So it's kept in a sealed kind of anti-magic box to make sure nothing comes out. And it's kind of high up on one of these shelves. You know, this is a massive space.
How big is the anti-magic box?
Why?
I'm doing my best to decide whether this is a ladder job.
Oh, yes.
There's far less damage you can do with a ladder.
Yeah, it could be a ladder job, yes.
Sonia, under her breath, goes, thank the gods. And sends somebody for a ladder.
Oh, me and Brian can go do that. I'm not supposed to be technically working anyway. And then I'm going to go immediately home after I get the ladder.
I'm sure you are.
I walk out with Brian, and then we get the ladder, and then out of view of everyone else, Bartholomew turns like, Brian, if you don't go home right now, I'm going to skin you alive. I'm going to eat you. If you don't go home right now, I need you to go home right now.
You know, goodbye.
Okay. Bye. If anyone asks you were here, and then when he turns back around, is like, what? I'm going to cast a sky self, and I'm just going to pretend to be him so I can fake doing work, so I can do work and pretend I'm not doing work.
Oh, my God. Did you go out of eyeshot of that as well?
Yes, I would have, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I had a thing I was going to use, but
also,
yeah,
I do technically have a worm in my brain that is directly, that you have direct contact to. So you can tell this is me, but you have no proof.
No, I think, so the worm is controlled by Bolslara, I think. And so Bolslara can choose to inform me of stuff. I don't think I know what's in your brain at all times. Fantastic. Yeah. I can't just make up that I know all of your thoughts. That's crazy.
Hey, listen, I can set to it. That sounds fun. And then I walk in with the ladder looking exactly like Brian.
Hey, how nice. I got the ladder.
Can I roll insight?
If you want.
Yeah. This
Indica
feels weird.
Totally buys it.
That's a 22.
Yeah, you know this is not Brian.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brian.
I got the ladder.
Thanks, Brian.
Wow. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, we listened to... Hey, has anyone listened to Port at Work recently?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. Love that. That's really
Indica,
cool.
Indica, we cannot say that out loud. One of the warehouse guy raises a hand. Yeah. All right, Craig.
Sonia completely buys that this is Brian, because she's like, yeah, all of the... all of the all office the corporate workers are people like this.
Idiots. Yeah.
She just sets up the ladder and goes, yep, and then starts climbing.
Yoinks. Yoinks.
You grab the box that the grimoire is in, bring it down, and you all start to head back to the entrance when you start to hear the creaking and groaning of metal. Suddenly, a box falls and shatters next to you. The shelf you just took the grimoire from starts to fall into the shelving next to it, which falls into the shelves next to that, which falls into the shelves next to that, leading to an avalanche of shelving. And I need you all to roll initiative to make sure you don't get caught.
Oh! Oh no!
Oh!
Do that.
So thank you for getting Brian out of there, because I didn't want to have to figure that out.
Turns out this was the load-bearing grimoire.
So let me know what you get.
14.
22.
Okay.
17.
Oh, I also got 17.
Aw.
Oh.
Whose dex is higher?
I have 0 dex.
I have plus 2.
So what? If we were to say Brian was a class, what class would we say Brian was?
Honestly, maybe a rogue.
Okay, I can pretend to be a rogue. Easy.
So how this is going to work is it will take 4 rounds for all of you to get back to the entrance of the warehouse. And each round will have a new obstacle for you to get past. And we're going to assume that even if you cast a spell or use some sort of ability, or even if you fail a check or a save on the obstacle, you will continue to make progress towards the entrance. The one exception to that is if you fail an ability check or saving throw twice in a row, in which case you will become trapped under the falling shelves.
Mm.
And on each turn, you'll have your normal action, bonus action, reaction, you know, the action economy. Movement won't really matter. You can also, like, you, if it happens, you can use your, like, a spell or an ability on help someone else, you know, to give them, to try to help them or to help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The one exception to that, weirdly enough, is the help action. If you take the help action to give someone else advantage, you will do your check with disadvantage because you will have to take so much of your energy specifically to do that.
Oh no, does this count as an accident caused by Indica, or is this just gonna be a full reset?
We've yet to find out the cause.
I cast Zone of Truth.
So, as that first shelf starts to fall that the grimoire was on, it knocks into the next shelf and into the next shelf and starts running towards you. As the things fall, y'all start running?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nah, I just stay in place.
My
own little personal apocalypse. Sonya thinks for a second, is like, if I die, I don't have to clean this up. And then starts running.
As you're running through these shelves, a massive cauldron has fallen over, spilling a mysterious liquid in your path.
How much, like, area space does this take up?
25 feet.
25, damn. All right, I have a way to do 10, so. I have something that for 10 feet that literally just allows me to like move through hazards without a problem.
Oh,
yeah. If you
use that, I'll like, this is one of those times, like if you use that as your ability on your turn, it'll like lower the DC for you to do this or something like that.
Gotcha, okay, that makes sense.
So first up, Merrick.
Okay. I'm going to start up a bardic performance. And so I think what I'll probably do, I think Merrick clicks their heels together and 2 little heelies drop from their from their little heels and they start sort of heel skating across this thing. They're going to use 2 things. They're going to start a bardic performance where they just start out like, all right, guys, we can do this. We've just got to stay organized. And I'm going to use Ode to Heroes. And everyone will have advantage on dexterity checks, I'm going to say.
Love.
And then as a bonus action, I will use Scurry. which is part of the supplicant background, I believe. Oh, no, that's part of the orcish background, orcish, what is it, lineage, where as a bonus action, I can move 10 feet without provoking opportunity attacks and doesn't trigger traps or hazards, even if, as long as I know where the hazards are.
Yeah, go ahead and so are you healing through...
Healing.
I am healing through the sludge, and we'll see what happens when I come out of it.
As you start to roll into the mystery liquid, you get your 10 feet in, but then your heelys get caught in this really sticky, viscous, and you need to make a strength check to cross the rest of it.
Oh, that's my worst step.
The DC is slightly lowered because you did heely your way in.
All right. With a negative one, that's a 13.
You helians start to get caught in it, see the falling books behind you, and just start to run through the rest of it and make your way past it.
Nice. All right, everybody. Nice. Now you can do it. If I can do it, I'm not that strong. All of you can do it. You got this. Come on, Bartholomew. Let's go. Oh, sorry. Come on. Come on, Brian. You got this.
Well, I don't know who that Bartholomew is. I only know Derek from this.
I'm so sorry.
Wait. Hold on.
I'll kill
Who's
you.
Who's Bartholomew?
No one's Bartholomew. That is Brian from the smut in the office.
Oh, Brian the smut.
Sonia, you are up next.
I am going to take my Shard of Creation.
Whoa.
My mechanist ability. I essentially have this little thing that, like, it's sort of this amorphous, like, pink glowing thing that I can transform into an object. Use an action to transform it into any type of non-magical weapon or shield or any object of medium-sized or smaller. I'm going to try and turn it into, like, a little glider to at least try and get most of the way across the ooze.
Okay.
It starts out as my welder's goggles. I, like, flip my hand and it transforms into glider wings on my back.
Cool.
Yeah, go ahead and give me an athletics check to kind of get the running to jump.
I'm not bad at athletics, so let's do that. Ooh, but that's a bad roll. that's a 2 on the die, so 6.
Nice.
As you go to run to get the air to float and glide over this liquid, you don't quite get enough distance to go, and so you land about 10 feet short and get a little stuck.
Oh, God.
You do get yourself out.
Okay.
But that is one fail that you have. So if you fail the next one...
I'm dead.
You will be trapped underneath the warehouse.
Underneath my own warehouse.
Next up, Bartholomew Brian.
Okay. As we're running, Bartholomew is not a fit or athletic person, is also not built for in any way exciting or combative things happening, but is gonna, like, grab a mop or, like, some rags that they are running past, and as pretend to be Brian, hey guys, I'll clear away, and then is gonna, like, pretend to mop up some of the liquid, and I'm gonna cast Prestidigitation as far as I can go through it, making it look like I'm mopping up. But what is actually happening is all of the pages of my grimoire have, like, been torn out, and I have formed this, like, fake mop that is, like, mopping with me. So if this disguise self wasn't there, it would look like a, like, almost like a paper craft mop, mopping things up. And then all of the mop would, like, collapse in on itself and then reforge into a book again.
Nice.
Wow.
But right now it just looks like a regular mop.
I've never seen Brian work before.
Well, first time for everything.
Gosh, I'm so glad I didn't go home.
Go ahead and give me a strength check, but with advantage.
Okay, I got a 10. Yes, with advantage. I rolled an 11 and an 8, and I have minus 1 to strength.
Woof. You are not used, as you just said, you are not used to kind of doing any sort of physical activity.
Yep.
So even this mopping really tires you out about 10 feet in, 10, 15 feet in, and you get through, but it's a struggle.
Yeah.
Which you also have one fail. But whether you wanted to or not, you've made it a little easier for Indica behind you because you've cleaned up a little bit of a pathway.
Yep. As is Bartholomew's curse.
Merrick thinks, wow, maybe I got through to them.
And yeah, Indica, you are up now. You got a little bit of path if you want to try to run through it. It's a little easier.
Would you say that it doesn't exactly say this, but cloud step sounds vague enough where it's like I'm walking on clouds.
Wow.
As if
is that an ability or a spell?
It's a trait. It's once per long rest, move up to 10 feet without provoking opportunity attacks. And would you say that maybe this oil is a bit of an opportunity attack? Would you say perhaps we could stretch it out and say...
Yeah, I will say you're using a resource you have to try to accomplish a goal. So yeah, I think that will lower the DC, the difficulty class, even more on top of Bartholomew Brian clearing a little bit more of a path. So it will be even easier now for you.
Okay, cool. I'm going to use that. I'm going to run through and I'll be like, this is for my mom.
Great. Give me a strength check to run across the sticky liquid.
That is a 21.
You run through like a stallion. There is nothing stopping you.
Wow.
You see Bartholomew Brian kind of clumsily mopping. You see Sonia collapsing in their glider, and you just run right past. So you've succeeded as well.
Wow. Thank you, Mom. Come on, folks. We can do this together as one. Just use the power of workplace friendship.
Go Voids!
Go Voids!
Go Voids!
On three. On three. One, two, three. Go,
go Voids.
Voids!
Go Voids.
Sonia. Sonia, go. You got to say it.
We need everybody Voids. In this, Sonia.
What?
What?
Sonia says hemorrhoids. And then says, go Voids.
Close enough.
I high five Indica.
As you keep running through, you all notice a bit up ahead of you that there are several orbs that are falling from a high shelf that will land in your path.
Orbs?
Just like, I don't know, some mysterious orbs in this.
The orbs of Midrasin.
Yes, the orbs of Midrasin are falling. Merrick, what do you want to do?
Sonia, are these orbs filled with something that shouldn't break?
Max, are these orbs filled with something that shouldn't break?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, and I put away the shatter spell.
Both of you make an arcana check.
Okay, well, bonus action. So Sonia's not still stuck in the thing, right?
You basically all keep going through, but when you get to two fails, you'll have been slowed up by the obstacle so much that the avalanche of shelving and stuff will have caught up with you.
Great. Okay. Then as a bonus action, I have to use the bonus action to keep the song, the performance going, but I can also use that. I can also use that same bonus action to use a bardic inspiration die.
Okay.
So I'm going to call over to Sonia, hemorrhoids, and Sonia's going to get bardic inspiration.
Woohoo.
And you have a D6 that you can basically add to any roll in the next 10 minutes that you would like. I forgot you asked us to do an arcana check. That is a 8 for that arcana check.
These are orbs.
Great. These look really important.
I rolled an 18.
Is this for everyone? Can everyone do this?
Yeah, if you all want to roll arcana checks on these orbs, you're welcome to.
The 21.
Okay.
I rolled a 2.
So for Merrick and Indica, do not let these orbs explode. Like, do not damage these orbs or it will be bad. Like, real bad.
Okay.
Bartholomew and Sonia, if these smash on the ground, there's going to be an explosion of sparks. You might get dazed and get distracted a little bit.
Ooh.
So it's not great.
Okay.
But you know it's not going to, like, blow up.
Oh, God, these look dangerous and powerful. Can I cast... I have Enlarge Reduce. Technically, it's just for one object, but since we're playing a little fast and loose, can I cast Enlarge Reduce and reduce some of the sizes of these orbs so that they're easier to catch?
Actually, so good.
Ooh.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Actually, I'm a magician and I have great sleight of hand. Can I actually reduce the size of like 3 of them and then start juggling?
Yes, but that's going to be a higher check.
Sure, sleight of hand.
Great. Go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check.
Right, sure.
To try to catch 3 of these orbs.
Ooh, baby, that is a 25.
You walk in and the 25, you get all 4 of these orbs that have fallen from this shelf.
Ooh.
You slide to catch them right before they hit the ground and you start juggling these tiny little orbs and you save everyone from having to do a check. So that resets.
Woo!
Sonia and Bartholomew's failures.
Hell yeah.
So,
okay, can I put these down?
Yes.
Great.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, well done, kid.
Thank you. And then I pocket one just so that we can use it later, maybe.
All 4 of you are continuing to run through this avalanche of shelves, and it's loud. It's so loud, but somehow you're able to pick out a slight humming that you see coming that you can kind of pinpoint as in a machine in front of you. And it's just, it's really grinding your gears. It's just this frequency, it's distracting. It's kind of giving you some brain fog. I guess we'll put Merrick at the end because they did everything for everyone. So that would be Sonia, you are up first.
Oh, and I mean, can I roll to figure out what this machine's gonna do?
Yeah.
Is it giving us disadvantage on stuff?
Not yet.
Okay.
Wow, that's ominous.
I love that sentence.
I am going to use my Eyes of the Maker, which is a level 1 mechanist feature, where I touch a magic item or some other magic imbued object, and I learn its properties and how to use it and several other things. So I run up to it and touch it.
Casey, give me a name because you're really good at names.
Oh God, this is the Void Engine of Kildrian.
Great, so
that is good actually. To be fair,
Casey's really good at pulling names out of
really
his ass. It's like
names.
An actual thing.
Kildrian,
yeah,
great.
Kildrian tried to use it to take over the world, and it didn't work out for him. Mm. The Void got him.
As you are seeing the inner workings of this Void Engine of Kildrian, you know exactly how to turn it off. It now just becomes, can you actually do the task to do it? So go ahead and give me like a tinkerer's tool check.
Ooh, yeah, baby. That is a 19.
With your knowledge of the inner workings of the Void Engine of Kildrian, you are able to use your tools and just cut a wire here, flip a switch here, unscrew a bolt here, and it just powers down, and all of your brain fog goes away for all 4 of you.
Ooh, greatness.
She flips the final switch and goes, brushes her hair out of her face, lights up a cigarette.
Sonia, are your nipples hard?
Sonia's very flushed. Sonia's flushed and she says, mind your business.
You now run and you turn a corner to the last. Right before the exit, you see an abandoned forklift blocking your path.
Oh no.
First up, is Bartholomew.
I love the idea.
Hold your action.
There's no threat here. It's just an abandoned forklift.
I'm the threat.
You have to get past it. It's blocking the path.
It's just the end of this, and there's just an off forklift.
Seeing it, the Bartholomew's heart rate skyrockets once again. But maybe I can get him fired.
Hey, buddy. Check that shit out over there.
I'm going to hold my action.
Great. Indica, you see an abandoned forklift right there.
Okay. Cut to 1 hour before this. Brian's in my office and we're talking and I exchange a smut audiobook with him for him stealing Sonia's keys to the forklift and making a copy for me. And so I pull out the copy of my key and I make a mad dash towards the forklift.
I need you to
how did
make
you get that.
I don't know what the ability is for this.
Forklift roll?
No, it's going to be a land vehicles check, but I don't know what you roll.
Does Indica have proficiency in a forklift?
No, Indica has disadvantage on this roll.
No.
Right now.
The opposite of proficiency.
I don't know, because the books doesn't say, so I'm going to say that this is a with disadvantage.
I turn to Sonia. You're not going to drive the thing, are you?
I mean, I think it'd be... I can, yeah. I'm certified.
A certified freak, maybe. I thought you were cool, Indica, damn.
Honestly, the Brian imitation's really good.
That's crazy.
It's really
I hope this is your Oscar moment.
Certified freak is crazy.
Certified freak is crazy.
I will cast guidance on it. No, I will cast guidance. I think all of this hype talk makes Bartholomew really want Indica to get into the thing. So it's just a D4 add-on to whatever your highest roll is. Or whatever your lowest roll is.
I'm gonna hop into it.
Ooh, okay.
Oh.
I rolled an 11 minus 1 is 10 plus 4 is 14.
Woo!
Nice.
There we
that's
go.
Not bad.
Okay. That's pretty right. Good.
You insert your key into the ignition and turn it on. You know exactly in this moment what you need to do, and you drive this forklift to clear a path.
Wow.
But my question for you, Indica in particular, there's an avalanche behind you. Do you do anything else with this forklift?
Oh, after I clear the path, I'm going straight out to the parking lot to drive this thing home. cut to Indica's house. There are four other forklifts that I've taken from her.
Amazing. Yes, you all get to the entrance, except for Indica, who is left.
Who's doing donuts in the parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just acting out because he's got an absent mother.
You were all standing in the doorway when there was just the collapse of the last shelf and that, like, of air as it just, like, blows your hair and your clothes. And Sonia, you see an absolutely destroyed and catastrophic warehouse sitting in front of you.
I think Sonia sets the grimoire on the ground. Sort of nods. And then says, Joe, excuse me for a moment. Goes into her office and closes the door. And you just hear, oh!
Oh god.
I'm gonna take care of this so that she doesn't have to. And I will just wipe that whiteboard and write zero.
But you leave The Indigo one is still at 3.
Yep. But I'll draw the 0 and then draw a little frowny face inside of it.
Yeah, as you leave to go back upstairs, you leave a warehouse that this morning read 36,472 days since our last accident, and now reads 0.
I think there's a silent talking head with Sonia where she's sitting there and you just see her opening a flask.
So it's not the first time I've been Brian to get Indica to do something. Early tax filings we've done. I've had to take him to a bar. I've had to do some like work retreat stuff as Brian. But you know, I mean, it's Brian doesn't really know. He has a really bad memory. It's all in good, clean fun. Sorry. Wow. It's really hard to get out of it when you're in it. I'm fine.
Yeah, Brian's awesome. We hang out all the time. He's telling me to do crazy, wacky stuff. I blew up a building last week because Brian told me to do it. This guy's phenomenal. Great person. 10 out of 10. I love him.
Merrick is at their desk writing some documents that are clearly a report to the higher-ups. And as they do, they look up from their desk and say, you know, some people really dread Mondays. It's always the first day of work, and a lot of people just want that weekend to keep on going. But for me, if it wasn't Monday, wonderful learning opportunities like this wouldn't have happened. And I'm just happy to be here with all my friends. And then I finish forging this report of, like, good, you know, like, this report of, like, everything went great today. No one needs to get fired. No one needs to get flayed alive. I have, like, a charlatan's kit or whatever that I can basically just, like, write bullshit with. And then I sign it and send another wonderful report off and say, nobody's getting flayed today. Not on my watch.
One thing I forgot to ask actually was, so did you actually bring the grimoire to the front desk to be sent off? Or,
I mean, the warehouse got destroyed. Mm-hmm. So if I don't bring the grimoire up there, I might walk into traffic. So
there's a forklift out there. You ought to be careful.
Get speared.
Indica, a quick question. Are you coming back to the office after this, or are you just going to be out gallivanting with the forklift?
I do think I have to come back to do one last thing anyway. So I,
okay,
I think I parked the forklift at home and then
come back.
Yeah,
forgot your actual keys.
Yeah, I forgot my actual keys to my.
Great.
The fact that you did not ride it back, you left it at home and walked back.
Yeah, that's what I did. I left the forklift at home and then I walked.
Awful.
So after you all take some time to recover from the catastrophe that was the warehouse, you're all sitting and chatting and steaming in the break room that smells strongly of fish and not a good fish. When into the break room runs Dendra Kingsley from accounting. She's a blue kobold in a blouse and skirt with a pitch black high ponytail. Oh my god, have you seen the... hey Sonia. And she gives you kind of a bit of a little coy look before remembering why she's there. What happened to the warehouse? They're not letting anyone down there.
Oh, you know, it's a little thing. It's, we do this sort of emergency preparedness drill every so often where we leave it in shambles and then see how fast we can put it back together. Just in case, an apocalypse happens before the apocalypse.
Wow, that's that's really interesting. She's like, yeah. Just like playing with like the bottom of her like shirt, just kind of like twirling it a little bit.
Wow.
And as that's happening, the fire alarm goes off.
Oh.
This is not recently. This has been a pretty common occurrence.
Is Indica in the room?
Indica is in the room.
Okay.
When this happens. And people are getting up and moving outside and complaining about it happening and be like, God, why does it? They got to get that fixed.
I've been telling Derek to take the batteries out of those things for months now.
I cut to Bartholomew. So I keep taking the batteries out just in the hopes that someone will die, but unfortunately someone keeps putting the batteries back in, and I'm pretty sure it's Merrick.
You see Merrick like sweating with a bunch of double A's.
Sonia gets the door for Dendra.
Aww.
It's like, after you.
Thank you. And you all start to head outside. When you get out, when everyone is outside, you just start to hear these pings and vibrations coming from everywhere. Your phones are blowing up with notifications from Chantry Connect, the great Chantry's work and social media app. The people around you are starting to get stressed, and you all look at your phones and see posts like, is this real? Who could it be? And they're all sharing the same link to a video. Before pressing play, the still image is of an elven woman in flowing blue and yellow robes. At the elven woman's hip is a magnificent sword with a slight glow to it. You all know who this is. This is Holdivar, Queen of the Labyrinth, and sworn enemy of Boslara the Sweet and the Great Chantry. And she is speaking to a crowd.
Can we get on the big screen? Put it on the big screen.
This woman again.
Someone's cast their phone to the big screen.
Merrick will press play on it.
We always knew the Great Chantry was a threat, but it would appear that threat is growing and imminent. Our sources within the Chantry have told us that they have Archangel Kel'Beleth out searching for the keys to the irrevocable apocalypse as we speak. Do not worry. We, the Keepers of the Keys, will do everything in our power to make sure the Labyrinth is safe and the Great Chantry is destroyed once and for all. Stay vigilant, citizens, and we will persevere. As she finishes, she turns to leave, revealing someone else you recognize. A goblin in a white button-down shirt and slacks. They push up their glasses as they follow Holdivar offstage. Join us next time for part two of Thank God It's Doomsday.
I'm gonna kill him.
Traitor! Oh my God. That absolute traitor.
Wow, such dicks.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Mage Hand High Five. Thank God it's Doomsday. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For just $5 a month, you get all kinds of extra goodies like early access to merch, peeks behind the GM screen, and a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about all the behind the scenes of the episodes. Not to mention, you can help small creators like us as we work on this passion project for you. Check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. It's great. It's lovely. We love reading them. They help us out. Please do it. Go do it. No. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers over on Patreon, and I'm going to do it in one breath. Malty, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Couple, Jay, Theo, Els, White, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippy Fresh, Dart Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads Jellycube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trot Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovelies, Alison DeValvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest, Oki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Elder Soul, Jalata Pang, Laura Hickman, Al Clo Utley, and Sammy Richardson. Ooh, I got this down. Come on, I need a real challenge. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell the 10-foot Costco skeleton in your front yard about the show. And when you do it, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?